This is WBAA. I'm Betty Carson. Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, reviews a collection of poetry featuring the work of more than 115 poets who live or who have lived in Indiana. This book, And Know This Place, Poetry of Indiana, is the first collection of Indiana poetry to appear for more than 100 years. Schinkel begins his review by reading the first poem from the collection.
Memo to the 21st Century. It was like this once. Sprinklers mixed our marigolds with someone else's flocks. And the sidewalks under maple trees were lacy with August shade. And whistles called at 8, and fathers walked to work. And when they blew again, men in tired blue shirts followed their shadows home to grass. That is how it was in Indiana. But we are moving out now, scraping the world smooth where apples blossomed, paving it over for cars. We are pushing on our giant diesel snarling, and I think of you, the billions of you, wrapped in your 21st century concrete. And I want to call to you to let you know that if you dig down past wires and pipes and sewers and subways, you will find a crumbly stuff called earth. Listen, in Indiana once, things grew in it. That is the very first poem by Philip Appleman, as it turns out, from And Know This Place, Hoosier Poetry, the first collection, we are told, of Hoosier poetry in over 100 years. And we shouldn't have waited that long to do this. Hoosier poets are alive and kicking down the back roads of our minds thanks to this new collection of poetry. Take note that today's book is more than just a compilation of well-written poetry, and the poetry that was chosen for this book, one of the main criteria was that it be well-written. It's a celebration of the Hoosier spirit. What struck me first, and perhaps you too, by listening to that first poem, about the poetry within these covers is the direct access of the language. There is little that is abstruse or harsh-sounding to the ears here. There is much that is straightforward, plain-spoken, much like one Hoosier conversing with another. And then there's that sense of place, that we're reading poetry written about Indiana. It's so clear in each poem. The title is, after all, And Know This Place, a sense of purpose these poets and their poems certainly embrace. This marvelous collection opens with the thoughts of the changes that have come over Hoosier life and Hoosier landscape, be it changes in daily life, as we just heard, the haunting whistle of many trains that travel through our state each day, the storied history of autos in Indiana, and the work life of garbage collectors in Bloomington. All of them plainly, albeit beautifully written poems that paint a picture of the vanishing past of Indiana with more joy than sorrow. As we meander through this collection, we come across many more moods of life in Indiana, poems of joy and sorrow, of pain and excitement. When I spoke about this book recently to a group, I made note that Hoosier poets are most often direct in their writing. Think James Whitcomb Riley, and much of today's book's poetry sports Riley's clear prose, letting us read these poems for an immediate sense of place and mood and image. For instance, there's this one by Antonia Matthew, titled Spring. At the intersection of 3rd and Dunn, the Magnolias are doing it again. The whole gang of them lined up along the sidewalk, giggling girls in extravagant finery, branches displaying luscious blossom cups, white, purple, pink, tossing in the first fickle day of March wind. This is poetry we can all respond to from the get-go. That said, this is not sing-song nursery rhyme poetry. There are deep thoughts and concepts here. It's not at all greeting card poetry. We find many poets from Indiana in the collection. Purdue's Marianne Baruch with 4 offerings, each of them delicately crafted moments in time, be it the passing of an ROTC parade at Horticulture Park, the sudden displacement of a wild beehive after a cold March storm, the melancholy of a retail greenhouse being closed, or the wonder of a snow-covered car one winter's morning. Before I clear the windows, I sometimes sit inside, and the stillness is such that I lose how the day works. Sometimes my son has patience, and we sit a few minutes like this in the weird half light. He says, "We're in a closed fist, Mama." Or, "It's like the car's eye is closed." We're deep in the brain then, seeing as the blind see, all listening. And so it is that here we read the works of poets living and those no longer with us, folks like Jessamine West and James Whitcomb Riley, Jared Carter. Indeed, as poet Roger Mitchell notes in his introduction to today's book, Indiana is the only state which brings to mind a poet. In this case, of course, the aforementioned James Whitcomb Riley. And like many of its Midwest neighbors, Indiana's poets and writers have often become famous once they left the state. Mitchell devotes a fair amount of his introduction to looking at these folks, and I wanted to share a few of those names with you, names like Kenneth Rexroth, Hoagy Carmichael, and writers such as Theodore Dreiser, Cole Porter of Peru, whose lyrics have now been collected for the Library of America series, Ned Roram, born in Richmond, left for Paris in his 20s, and returned after several years to a life in Manhattan. Indiana, he writes, also has the distinction, I believe, of being the only state to have its name assumed by one of its artists. Robert Clark of Newcastle changed his name to Robert Indiana, best known for his sculpture Love, which was later elevated to a U.S. postage stamp. And he goes on to talk about John Woods, Marguerite Young, Ruth Stone, Robert Hazel, and many, many other poets who became famous kind of once they left our great state of Indiana. That said, many of the artists collected in today's book chose to remain in what became their home state, Indiana. Tippecanoe County and Purdue University in particular are well represented by works from poets Christy Cornell and Mary Evans, Sarah Green, Dania Hefko, Brian Penberthy, Donald Platt, Dana Rozier, Felix Stanofoli, and E. Richard Dick Thomas. Other Indiana University towns are well represented in this collection. Bloomington and Muncie come to mind. But there are more than a smattering of poets who live in more surprising areas of the state as well. Brownsburg, Ogleville, Posey County, and Brown County all boast residents by poets whose poems have made their way into today's collection. And yet others have found their home for writing poetry by moving into the Hoosier state. And know this place, Poetry of Indiana, is, then, a diverse collection, especially when we consider the themes we find, urban, rural, intimate moments, loud public displays. We find within these covers poems that speak of the experience of Black Indiana, the Indiana lived by immigrants from Asia, and poems that celebrate the quiet, out-of-the-way beauties in our Hoosier state. Here we have poetry that is celebrated locally in Indiana and poetry that has made the leap to a national audience. A number of these poets have seen their work published in the popular press and in such major national publications as the Pushcart Prize, that annual collection of poetry, short stories, and essays that I look forward to reading every year after it's published. Let's finish by reading a couple more poems from this marvelous, marvelous collection. Here's just a little bit of a poem entitled Midwest Fantasy by Tippecanoe County's own Felix Stefanili. This is from the section he has entitled Summer, August. This heavy hour, this ton of light, the blinding pain, all I can do is squint. Then I stare as hard as I can at the squirrel on the pawpaw branch, not 3 feet from the window. He is heaving, heaving. I think of the flame shapes of the corn, tumescent and gold that point and point. Where my dream walks, they cackle. And finally, this poem, a selection from Shake Your Body, subtitled for Michael Jackson by Hoosier poet Allison Joseph. It goes like this. This is the Michael I want to remember. Full lips, Afro large as life, lithe body, slim but not dangerous, mouth imploring us to dance, shout, shake our bodies down to the ground, his face his own, untouched by surgery. This Michael's no freak show, his dancing not reduced to grabs and pyrotechnics, skin not powdered beyond recognition to his own, neither black nor white, but phantom-like, pallid. This Michael still glittered, still shone, his nose brought across his face, hair untouched by chemicals. This Michael was on his way to being a man, a black man, someone whose albums I wouldn't hide, whose voice wouldn't turn into mere vocal ticks, tricks, a parody of itself. I want to remember it, the energy no one can deny him, Boogie, that irresistible urge to dance, the dance uncomplicated by the dancer, uncompromised as the face he used to possess, broad, brown, African. Just one of the many varied and delightfully Hoosier poems from this wonderful, wonderful collection. And Know This Place, Poetry of Indiana, edited by Jenny Kander and C.E. Greer, and available at any fine local public library, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.
That was Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library. He's reviewed And Know This Place, Poetry of Indiana, a collection published by the Indiana Historical Society Press. You can find more on this book and other book reviews by Nick Schinkel on our website at wbaa.org.